Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Hey everybody, it's Tyler, and I'm back again with another episode of the podcast. We're staying with the Islam series. I'm about to finish that up, so I hope you've enjoyed so far. I hope you've kind of learned something. I've learned a lot going through this, but we have a, like I said, we have a couple more episodes, so I'm going to try to wrap this up, and we'll have a lot more stuff coming to you within this next year, 2025. Got a lot of plans and a lot of topics that we're going to get to, but I wanted to go ahead and wrap this one up so that you can have a complete series to listen to and to kind of use it in how you want to minister to Muslims. Like I mentioned in the original episode, Islam is one of the fastest growing religions in the United States. So it's good to be able to have a defense against Islam and be able to defend Christianity, you know, against the doubters, against those who worship Allah and the Muslim faith. I really hope you're getting good use out of this, I hope it continues to bless you. So for today's episode, we're going to continue talking about Jesus. In the past few episodes, we talked about Jesus as well and what Islam believes about Jesus. So we're going to continue talking about Jesus today. Like I mentioned previously, Jesus Christ is the crux of Christianity. And without Jesus, no one can make it to heaven. As Jesus says in John 14, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by him. So salvation comes through Jesus. So we need to be able to relay to Muslims that there is no redemption without the sinless blood of Jesus. Just keep in mind, again, as we read, it's important to understand that the Quran teaches about Jesus, but it does not represent the true Jesus Christ or his teachings that are identified in the New Testament. So if you've listened to this before, you understand that I'm reading some of the verses from the different surahs in the Quran to get an idea of what Muslims believe, but don't get it twisted that the Quran teaches about the true Jesus. The Quran was written 600 to 700 years after Jesus's life, so it's more reliable to fall back on the New Testament and specifically the four Gospels of the actions that Jesus did and the words that he said. So I just want you to keep that in mind as we go through that. Please don't take offense to me reading the Quran. It's just so that we can better understand what Muslims believe to be able to reach them better. And last time we talked on the podcast, we talked specifically about Jesus and Islam's denial of his divinity. And I showed you different verses in the Bible where Jesus is God and where he himself claims to be God. And today I'm going to continue talking about how Jesus is God, but kind of from a different perspective. In today's episode, I'm going to show you some different things that Muslims associate with Allah, but Jesus holds the title to those things. And by saying that, I mean that when Muslims describe Allah, they actually describe different things that Jesus does and claims to be. So in a roundabout way, their Quran gives attributes to Allah that Jesus possesses, meaning that even their Quran inadvertently proves that Jesus is God. So it's going to be a little bit different in this episode. I hope you enjoy it, but I have different different aspects that I'm going to touch on, where the Quran shows that Jesus is God. So the first one I want to talk about is in the Quran, in Surah 57, verse 3, the Quran states that Allah is the first and the last. It reads as follows. He is the first and the last, the most high and most near, and he has perfect knowledge of all things. For those of you who are well-versed in the Bible, that may sound very similar to what Jesus says in Revelation chapter 1. In verse 17 through 18, Jesus says, it's John who has this revelation and sees Jesus. It says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and of hell." So here again, Jesus is essentially claiming to be God. It even goes along the same description that the Muslims give to Allah back in that surah I just read, Surah 57, verse 3. You can kind of see how, you know, it's like Islam is sometimes a perversion of what Christianity has established and what Jesus has claimed to be. Jesus is the first and the last because he was present from the beginning. We talked about last episode, if you go back and listen, I encourage you to, and the other two episodes before that, we talked last episode about how he was with the Father before the foundations of the earth. This is in Jesus' prayer back in John chapter 17. So Jesus' claim to be eternal again can't be denied by the Quran because he says that he is these things that Muslims attribute to Allah. It's kind of neat to kind of see that, and you'll see that again with some of these other points I have. If we go to the next one, in Surah 4, verse 171, the Quran refers to Jesus as a fulfillment of Allah's word. In this Surah 4, verse 171, it calls Jesus the Word. Like I said a second ago, last podcast, we learned that Jesus is the Word. If you go back and read John chapter 1, you'll be reminded that the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word eventually became flesh. The Allah is correct in this aspect as by claiming Jesus as the Word. And we can kind of see how the Bible expounds on that to show that the Word is God and became flesh, which is Jesus. It's kind of neat to see how the Quran says that. I have a video that I want to play. It's of a former Muslim that converted to Christianity based on some of what I just said. Let me play that. I hope you enjoy it. Let me mute myself first.
I don't call Jesus as God, you know. My idea was he's a prophet, but he's a prophet greater than Muhammad. So one day I went to my teacher, the one who taught me 10 years in Arabic college, and I asked him, "Teacher, how did God create the universe?" Then he said, "God created the universe through the Word." Through the Word. Then my question, Word is creator or creation? Must clear it. My question, whether the Word of God is creator or creation. Quran says Jesus is Word of God. If my teacher said the Word of God is creator, which means Jesus is creator, then the Muslims must become Christian. So there we have a big argument. And you know, at the end, what I did, I took my Quran, kept on my chest, and I said, "Allah, tell me, what should I do? Because your Quran says Jesus is still alive, Muhammad is no more. You tell me, whom should I accept?" After my prayer, I opened Quran. I didn't ask anyone, I asked only to my Allah. When I opened Quran, I saw chapter 10, verse 94. You know what Quran says? فإن كنتم في شك مما أنزلنا إليك فاسأل الذين يقرؤون الكتاب من قبلك لقد جاءك الحق. If you have any doubt in this Quran which I give to you, go and read the Bible or ask the people, those who read the Bible. The truth is already revealed in that. So if you ask me, who made me Christian? It's not any fathers, it's not any sisters, it's not any bishops, it's not any cardinal, it's not even Pope. But the Holy Quran converted me to Christianity.
So that's kind of neat to see how the Quran led this person to Christianity, because it was revealed that that the Word was God to him, and so that whenever he questioned it or whatever, he went back, prayed to Allah. As you know from the first episode, Allah is the Islamic word for God. It's an equivalent to the way we say God. So it's kind of neat how you can see how the Quran even led him to Christianity, because, as he mentioned in Surah 10:94, that if you have any doubts in the Quran, to go back to the scripture and read the scripture. So that's God working in that man's life, and showing him who truly is God, and that's Jesus Christ. Obviously, he's part of the Godhead. He's not the complete, God's made of the Trinity. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. But it's really cool to see how the Word has led him to Jesus Christ. The next point is the forgiveness of sins. So in Surah 3, verse 135, the Quran states that only Allah can forgive sins. It reads as follows. Surah 3, verse 135. They are those who, upon committing an evil deed or wronging themselves, remember Allah and seek forgiveness for their sins. And who forgives sins except Allah? And they do not knowingly persist in wrongdoing. In Mark 2, Jesus says that he has the authority to forgive sins. In Mark 2, verses 5 through 12, he forgives a man with palsy. He forgives a man with palsy, and Jesus explains that he's the Son of Man and he can forgive sins. I'll read that for you real quick. Mark 2, verses 5 through 12, it says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Now, notice that these scribes, they sound like the Quran in this instance. Only God can forgive sins. In verse 8, it says, "And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these signs in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." Again, this is Jesus claiming power that both Jews and Muslims believe God only has. Completely ignoring the works and the words of Jesus, he's trying to prove to them that he is God, and that They wish to worship him, but they choose to deny his power and authority. As Christians, we know that forgiveness comes through Jesus Christ. So as he is God in the flesh, he has the ability to forgive those sins where there is repentance. This forgiveness is also shown with the woman caught in the act of adultery in John chapter 8, and also the man on the cross in Luke 23. I have another video that I want to show. It's a man named Sam Shimon, I think that's his name. It's S-A-M, Sam Shimon. It's S-H-A-M-O-U-N. But I would encourage you to listen to some of his arguments he has. He's very well versed in the Quran. So he's able to really reach and talk to a bunch of Muslims. So here's a short video of him and a Muslim debating. Let me mute myself so it'll sound correctly.
Nine, six. He may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins.
You quoted Matthew 9:6, and you said, Jesus said, for the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. According to your Quran, chapter 3, verse 135, Allah alone forgives sins. So thank you for quoting a passage where Jesus again claimed to be God. You're not helping your case by citing these passages. You cited Matthew 9:6, and you said, Jesus said, for the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Read your Quran, Enjem, chapter 3, verse 135, it says, who can forgive sins but Allah alone? And you just cited Jesus claiming to forgive sins, something only God can do. Thank you for helping me prove that Jesus is God in the flesh. And then you referred to a passage about the Son of Man. Go read that passage in context. The reference to Son of Man means fallible, imperfect human beings. And yes, all of us sons of men are fallible, imperfect. We're not trustworthy. But conveniently, you didn't quote Daniel 7, 13 and 14 and mention that particular Son of Man. Here's Daniel 7, 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and there was one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. Read your Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 210. Allah comes with the clouds and his angels. This Son of Man comes with the clouds, which even the Quran says it's something that only Allah does. He came to the Ancient of Days. That's two. Son of Man, Ancient of Days.
So you can really see, too, how there's also resources of these people, these men of God, who are well-versed in this stuff so that you can learn to, you know, defend your faith when somebody comes to try to twist the gospel and say that Jesus isn't God. We can learn. I mean, and the objective is to learn, to be able to defend your faith against these things. Because with the growth of Islam, I mean, stuff like this is liable to happen, and we would need to be able to speak about these things. So I really like how Sam kind of turned that back on him and saying, you know, your Quran shows that Jesus forgives sins, and then shows him in Daniel, you know, where it talks about the Son of Man coming in clouds. This is why it's important to understand what Muslims believe, so that we can help others and show them the truth. Another topic that is mentioned in the Quran is that only Allah will judge the world. In Surah chapter 22, verses 56 through 57, it says, all authority on that day is for Allah alone. He will judge between them. So those who believe and do good will be in the gardens of bliss. But those who disbelieve and deny our revelations, it is they who will suffer a humiliating punishment. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 and 32, Jesus claims that he will judge the world. Another instance of Jesus claiming to have this power that only Jews and Muslims, pair with God or Allah. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 32, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Again, this is Jesus exemplifying power that only Allah, I'm using quotations in my hand, only Allah has. But Jesus saying all this stuff is trying to prove to them that he is God. He is the one that they're searching for, but they deny his power. As the man mentioned that got saved, that was Islam, as he mentioned earlier, if you have doubts in the Quran, go back to the scriptures. Well, this is what the scripture has to say about it, and Jesus himself is saying these things about himself and is giving himself this authority. And I say giving himself this authority, the Father gives him the authority as well because they work together. But Jesus is trying to show them that he is God, but they deny him still. And this is my last point. This is my last point. This is one of my favorites. So in the Quran, it states that Allah will raise people from the dead in the, in the last days. We know that Jesus will raise people from the dead at the resurrection. Jesus shows his authority and judgment in the last day when he talks about raising the dead. The Quran states that only Allah can do this in Surah 22. In verses 6 through 7 of Surah 22, it says, "That is because Allah alone is the truth. He alone gives life to the dead, and he alone is most capable of everything. And certainly the hour is coming, there is no doubt about it, and Allah will surely resurrect those in the graves." Jesus says in John 5 that the Son of God will speak and those that hear his voice will come to life. He's signifying that he holds the power to resurrect those from the dead. Just as creation was spoken into existence in the beginning, he holds power. His word holds power. The resurrection of believers will be spoken by the Son of God in the end times. So I'm going to read John chapter 5 verses 24 through 30. And Jesus is saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." So he's saying right here that it'll be the Son of God's voice that they hear. This is the Son of God speaking to them and giving them life. "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." So, according to the Quran and the Islamic faith, Jesus would be blaspheming, since he says he holds this power that only Allah possesses. But it is true that only God can resurrect those from the dead. Jesus is once again trying to show people that he is God. But Jesus exemplifies this ability to raise those from the dead, even in his earthly life. I mean, you talk about Lazarus and, you know, in John 10, where Jesus says he will raise himself from the dead. You can see this power that he has while on earth. You don't have to look all the way to end times to understand that he has the power to do this. You know, we see it with Lazarus, and we see it with Jesus in his resurrection. You know, a Muslim may argue and say that Jesus is not God because of that last verse where it says, "I do not mine own will, but the Father that sent me." And there needs to be an understanding that Jesus was born as a man and had humbled himself and placed limitations on his on himself to be man. He still had to sacrifice his own flesh in order to follow the true will that would be aligned with the Father. You know, and if we read a little further down, we find that the authority that he has can be attested with the witnesses of John the Baptist and of God the Father. In John 5, verses 31 through 39, it says, "If I bear witness of myself," and this is Jesus speaking, "if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Jesus, again, reiterates his eternal being with the Father because he says the Father bears witness of him, and no man has seen him except for him. Like I mentioned at the beginning, you know, in John 17, as Jesus prays to the Father, he says, you know, he pretty much tells him that we were together before the foundations of the earth. This is, again, Jesus telling them that God the Father bears witness of him because he was with him he's been with him for eternity. One other cool nugget that I kind of took from this as I was studying is that whenever it talks about the John the Baptist bearing witness of Jesus, we know that John was prophesied about, and yeah, I can do a study on that for another day. But we know that when John the Baptist was even in the womb, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. So what's kind of cool about this is with John the Baptist bearing witness and with the Father bearing witness, we kind of see a glimpse of the Trinity bearing witness one with another. You know, John was filled with the Holy Ghost, and with John bearing witness to Jesus, it's kind of cool to see how the Trinity is kind of shown in this aspect of what Jesus is talking about. But we can see in these scriptures right here in John 5, we can see that Jesus is trying to show the Jews that he is the one that was spoken about in prophecy. You see it at that last verse, "The scriptures testify of me." He's trying to show them that he is God and he is this prophesied Messiah. And trying to show them that he is God in the flesh. Through all these instances that I said and these different examples of the Quran showing different attributes of Allah, we can see we can see in the Bible that Jesus backs up his defense of him being God with by exemplifying these attributes, by showing people that he can forgive sins, by raising people from the dead. It's really cool to see, I think this is a powerful tool to be able to reach Muslims to show them that who they believe Allah is, Jesus holds the power that they believe Allah does. And it's really cool, I think, to kind of read through these and kind of do a comparison and show how inadvertently that Allah proves that Jesus is God and who he claims to be. In these words of Christ, it seems that so many times Muslims and Jews just kind of gloss over everything that Jesus spoke about and everything Jesus did. He provides multiple conversations and examples and miracles to demonstrate his deity and his divinity. He does works and claims to have those attributes that Muslims believe Allah or God can have. However, they still don't understand his deity. And this is why we need to use this information. Not from just this episode of the podcast, but from the previous episodes of the podcast to kind of show them how Jesus has proved that he is God. And if you remember in the, I believe it's the first episode where I talked about how, Muslims revere Jesus. They also believe he ascended and was never crucified. But we need to show them the truth. We need to show them who Jesus really was and who the Bible tells us he was, because that's a lot more reliable than a revelation given to Muhammad 600 to 700 years after Jesus' death. Jesus' deity and his sacrifice is the most important information we could ever relay to anybody. But it's extremely crucial when reaching Muslims. Had Jesus been merely a man and not God in the flesh, his crucifixion and blood would not be sufficient to cover the sins of all mankind. We need to relay that Jesus was born of a virgin. Just to reiterate on some of the stuff I've talked about with speaking mainly about Jesus, is we need to relay that Jesus was born of a virgin. He was the Messiah. He was crucified, and he raised again, and that he was God. And we need to show Muslims that his sacrifice was sufficient to cover the sins of all those who believed on him. And with that being said, this will conclude our portion of Islam versus Christianity when speaking about Jesus' attributes and evidence that he is God. In our next episode, we'll dive a little bit into the Quran and look at a few topics, miscellaneous topics from the Quran, and see how the standards of the Quran kind of either compare or contrast with the standards of the Bible. I hope you're enjoying this, and I hope you're learning a little bit as we go through this. It's crucial to be able to reach different types of people. I'll probably say that every time I do this, but this is a particular set of people that are growing and that are a lot more common in today's society than they would have been, say, 20 years ago. So it's good to understand what they believe so that we can reach them. Extremely crucial to reach everybody. So with that being said, I hope you continue to listen. And until next time, hope you all have a good week. See ya. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a
body but Jesus.